Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a look at your sermon notes for this morning and find the memory verse there at the very bottom. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Well, if you did anything outside this weekend, you know that summer is finally going to be here. I think we can actually say with some certainty that there will be a summer this year. I know the kids are looking forward to that. They're getting ready to finish school, and during the summer they'll be on vacation. They'll be riding their bikes and skateboards. They'll be at the pool or the beach and probably playing endless video games. That's their life. Yours and mine are a little bit different. We have our usual routines that will continue on. And so we know that this summer there's going to be the usual conflicts that there always are between old Main Street and Wall Street. There's going to be conflict between nations. And then there's going to be this little phenomenon called the political convention. And so you're going to have to decide who is the better or the worse candidate, depending on your point of view. And along with that, you are going to have to determine who is telling the truth. It's an age-old question, and it is always a challenge. Pontius Pilate once asked his wife, you know, what is truth? Even though the truth was standing right in front of him and he couldn't recognize it. And so for anyone who wants to navigate the waters of this life, we need to be able to know what's true, because everybody has their own version of it and they're always trying to sell it to us. So let's take a look this morning, and we're going to ask three questions in particular, or look at three possibilities of how we can know the truth. So the first one is this. Can we trust our own ability to reason? Can you trust your ability to reason? Now, the fact is God gave you a brain, and he expects you to use it. And so when it comes to anything, you are going to discern whether or not it's true based on your ability. But let's talk this morning much more about the things of God. How do you know that the gospel is true? Well, let's use our brains this morning and let's see if something makes plain sense to us. Now, I wrote just a couple of questions here, but let's begin with this. Let's test the gospel in the laboratory of our lives. Test the gospel in the laboratory of your own life. See if the gospel works. So here's one question. Does it work to believe that your body is the temple of the living God? Are you more healthy when you put healthy things in your body? Of course you are. Are you more unhealthy when you put bad things in your body? Of course you are. God says that this is a temple. The Holy Spirit lives within it. And so we are to treat this vessel well. Well, how about another one? Does it pay in society to say, thou shalt not steal? If you're going around committing crimes all the time, how's your life working out for you? Probably not too well, even if you're getting away with it. What about thou shalt not kill? If you're murdering people, that's probably not working out too well for you either. How about husbands? Does it pay to be faithful to your wife? Say yes. Children, does it pay to honor your parents? Say yes. It does. Very good. So, how about this one? Is there a better way to live than to love your neighbor as yourself? Does the golden rule work? It does, doesn't it? If you treat others in a particular way, the way that you want to be treated, oftentimes you are treated that way as well. So, test the gospel in the laboratory of your life, and then see how it works. Now, having said that, let's go to the next point. We must begin our search for truth with a modest confidence in the reliability of our brain. Circle the word modest. Have you ever been wrong? No. Never. You know, our brain gives us the right answer most of the time, but let's be honest. Not always. Sometimes when we think we are right, we are still wrong. Let me give you an example. One of the smartest men who ever lived was Aristotle. Anybody ever hear of Aristotle? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. A lot of us. So Aristotle once had said that if you took a 1-pound ball in one hand and a 5-pound ball in the other, and you climbed up to the top of a tall building and you let them go at the same time, that the 5-pound ball would fall 5 times faster than the 1-pound ball. And it sounded reasonable to people for thousands of years. It's 5 times heavier, should fall 5 times faster. Until Galileo came along and he climbed up to that tower of Pisa, I think before it was leaning, and he took a 1-pound and a 5-pound ball and he let them go at the same time, and what do you know happened? They fell and they hit the ground at exactly the same time. He was wrong, and people believed it, and they had been wrong for almost 2,000 years. And so, can we trust our own ability to reason? Most of the time, but not always. And we need to be able to admit that sometimes we're wrong. Point number two, can we trust the experiences of others? What do you think? Wouldn't there be a lot less heartache in life if we actually could trust the experiences of others? If we didn't have to go through the school of hard knocks on our own, if we didn't have to do everything by trial and error. Again, an example, back in 1942, the United States sent a number of fighter planes to England. The Mustang, it was superior to what the English were using at the time. And there was a man by the name of Park Smith. He was in the Royal Air Force, and he was one of those pilots that were now going to fly the new Mustang. Problem was, they didn't get any instruction. He says that the only instruction he got when the planes arrived was a pat on the back and good luck. And that's it. And because there wasn't any instruction, because they were all going by trial and error, 3 out of every 5 pilots in his class literally crashed and burned. Now, wouldn't it be great if we wouldn't have to crash and burn all the time? Of course it would. And so when it comes to the really important things, let's look to the people that have already experienced things. And so when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the message of Christ, the disciples say that Christ is risen from the dead. We just heard a few minutes ago in the book of Acts, Peter's sermon. He said, this Jesus that you people, the Jews, crucified, he is risen from the grave. I know that, he says, because I saw it with my very own eye. And he ascended into heaven, and he promised that he would send his Holy Spirit to all of those who believe. Now, I believe Peter, and I believe Paul, and I believe the rest of the apostles. And why do I believe them? Because they gave their life for that testimony. They died for the truth. And I'll always believe those people who are willing to die for the truth. If you turn over your notes, we see that the Bible is this record of all of God's truth, and yet we must admit that this book is not something that is dead, but it is still alive today. It is still speaking to us about the truth. of God and His Word and His will and what He would have us to do today. And so, we have the disciples, we have the Bible, and then we also have the testimonies of our great heroes of faith. I mean, what about Martin Luther? How much he has to offer to our faith, to our belief in the truth, or people like Augustine, or C.S. Lewis, or how about our Sunday school teachers? We honor them this morning because for so many of us, along with our parents, it was our Sunday school teachers who first brought us the truth of the message of the good news, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We can trust the experiences of others when we have their testimony along with the Word of God. But finally, it comes down to this, and this is our last point. It is the Spirit who guides us in the truth. I want to do a little exercise with you this morning. This is something that a friend of mine who's a pastor at a Lutheran church does with his confirmation students in the fall every year as he begins a new class. Now, you have your sermon notes, so I want you to write two things down. If you have a pen, if not, just kind of keep it here in your mind. And I'm going to write down a few of your responses as well. First of all, take a look at this jar of jelly beans, okay? It's pretty much full, standard quart jar. I want you to guess and write down on a piece of paper somewhere how many jelly beans are in the jar, all right? If you get it exactly right, you get the jar, all right? Take a moment to do that. How many jelly beans do you think are in the jar, all right? I'm going to write down some of your responses. While you're doing that, I also want you to think about what is your favorite song? All right, write that down. How many jelly beans in the jar? What is your favorite song? All right, so guesses. How many jelly beans in the jar? Just shout it out. 493. Okay, I'm not that quick, so you got to say that again. I heard one up here. 376, 525, 486, 242. How many? 300. Okay, that's enough because I can't remember any more than that. All right, 439, 493, 376, 525, 486, 242, and 300. And the answer is 755 exactly, because I counted them all. And it took a whole lot longer than I thought. A lot of beans. 755. All right, favorite songs, anybody? How Great Thou Art. Onward, Christian Soldiers, Beautiful Savior, Amazing Grace, Here I Am, Lord. Okay, that's probably enough. So, here's the real question. Which of those songs is right? All of them, right? It's a matter of opinion. So when it comes to your faith, is it more like guessing how many jelly beans are in the jar or choosing your favorite song? Almost always in the confirmation class, according to my pastor friend, the confirmands would say, our faith is much more like choosing a favorite song. It's a matter of opinion. But the right answer is, it is much more like guessing the number of jelly beans. There are exactly 755 jelly beans in the jar. Not 439 or 493 or 376 or 300, exactly 755. When it comes to our Christian faith, it matters what we believe. We need to be absolutely certain. You see, it may not matter how you were baptized. Maybe you were sprinkled. Maybe the water was poured on your head. Maybe you were dunked. But it does matter that you were baptized. It may not matter which church you belong to, whether it's Lutheran or Catholic or Methodist or Baptist, but it does matter that you are a Christian and that you are a part of the body of Christ. The world would tell us today that there are all kinds of roads that lead to heaven, and yet Jesus says there is only one way, and it is through Him, that no one gets to the Father except by Him. Except through His death and His resurrection, there is no road to heaven. Muhammad said that Jesus was a great prophet, but He's not just a great prophet. He is the incarnate Son of God. He is God in the flesh, who came and lived and died and rose again. It does matter what we say is the truth. And that's why on Trinity Sunday, we emphasize once again, I believe in God the Father, not just any God, but God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, as we will confess once again in just a few minutes. This Spirit of truth not only guides us into what is truth, but He also sets us free by the truth. You know, it's easier to tell a lie. It's often difficult to tell the truth. We teach our children this all the time, and yet we as adults need to follow the same good advice. And there are three parts in the difficulty of the truth. First of all, we have to find it. We know where to find it. We find it in the Word of God, and we are guided to it by the Spirit of truth. But then also we need to act upon the truth. It's one thing to know it, but it's another to act upon it. And then finally, as a church, we need to speak the truth as well, but to do it in a loving way, not a condemning way, so that others might know the truth as well. It's very much like two individuals who came in front of a judge. They had an argument. They had a conflict. The first one, who was the plaintiff, was very eloquent, very persuasive in his case, and at the end of his presentation, the judge said, "That's right, that's right." But then the defendant jumped up and he said, "Judge, you haven't heard my side of the story yet. All right, go ahead and give it." He too was very eloquent and persuasive, and at the end of his presentation, the judge said again, "Well, that's right, that's right." Well, then the court clerk jumps up and he says, "Judge, they can't both be right." And the judge says, "That's right." That's right. It's not easy always to find the truth, to know the truth. And that is why we stand upon the Word of God. It's why we rely upon the Spirit of truth to guide us into all the truth. And when we know that truth, we act upon it and we speak it in love. What an opportunity and a blessing we have again on this Trinity Sunday to confess the truth together and to our community.